Radio Kal, where the sound of yesterday and tomorrow meets.
Akash Bani Radio Kal, our Bhavishyater Shabdo.
It kalate metrin, and it kalate nikolihe.
Titayin, anagatayin, shabdo. Jahan do kal ki mulaqat hogi.
Hello and welcome to Spectre in My Seed, Verdant Ghost Colonialisms. This is the first episode of Radio Kal, Not Weed Frequency, live from Yeetse. I'm your RJ and my name is Pro. I'm sitting in the Darkish Matter radio studio at the edge of a farm in Saxony-Anhalt. It is a really, really cloudy afternoon and there are many, many different kinds of rolling clouds in different levels that are making this day a little bit spooky already. And we are sitting in the studio with the walls covered in particular kinds of weeds that we have collected from this plant, from this farm itself.
Out of the weeds, which are to absorb the sounds as we go on air, and the smell of these weeds that we have used to soundproof the walls is especially strong right now. I have a very, very sensitive nose and quite possibly it's already quite psychoactive. So I feel myself to become a bit high while I sit here. Sitting with me is, of course, my friend Yvonne Wilhelm of Nobotic. Yvonne, give our listeners a hello.
Hello, Pomona. Hello, dear listeners. I'm very pleased to host Radio Kal here today.
Fantastic. And sitting also in the DMRS Yeetse radio room is a trusted radio navigation chief, Hydra. Hydra, could you please give a hello onto my mic?
Hello, everyone. It's a massive pleasure.
All right. Okay, so Yvonne has been living on this farm and she has been interacting quite closely with the very, very special kind of flora and fauna that grow on this particular land. And for a while, she's been doing this. Today, of course, we are both in the studio to talk about a little thing that is a very specific problem. Many people across the world actually face it. We are talking about supernatural events in the natural world. So, Yvonne has been studying the field of dark ecology, and I, your RJ Pro, I am a very big fan of horror, and together we have set up this dream team. For us to actually help you solve some of the problems that you may be facing with regards to your plants, gardens, farmlands, which might be getting haunted, and there are some spirits that are and souls which are charging through these green spaces that you inhabit in your everyday life. So, this is a call-in radio program. It's an info program and we have an open phone line. And the number is +491639499381. Once again, +491639499381. You could also call us on WhatsApp. And for that, the number is +1-949-419-4696. Once again, the WhatsApp call number is +1-949-419-4696. Please call us, that is RJ Pro and Yvonne from Nobotic, if you feel that we are able to help you with our ghost busting queries. We would of course also like you to call us with personal stories of encounters with weeds and plants and trees, ghostly encounters that you may have had. Now, before we begin taking calls, I actually wanted to ask Yvonne to introduce us to this field of dark ecology and how she has been studying the specific migratory species of invasive and psychoactive weeds that we see on this farm and which are actually on the panels around us right now. Yvonne?
First of all, I'm not an expert on dark ecology at all. But I'm grateful for the phrase of Timothy Morton introduced to soften our anthropocentric glorifying attitude towards nature. Nature doesn't exist for him, only an undefined set of ecologies. And that is exactly what we are experiencing here on the farm, where we have been living for 2 years now. It's not a dream about living in harmony with nature and survive the upcoming crisis in self-sufficiency. For us, it's a deep immersion into a kind of gloomy, yet self-confident industrial wasteland that behaves like a pastoral, agricultural cultivated landscape. In fact, that's our meaning, it boycotts our ridiculous imaginations and provokes us to participate in its abstruse techno-aesthetic productions on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, so Yvonne, you have this very interesting take on this idea that apparently nature as a concept doesn't exist at all. It is just ecologies, which you are taking from Timothy Morton. Could you tell us a little bit more about how you came to this farm and perhaps a little bit of history of this land that we see around us?
I can do. We're looking for a place to be as a loose community of, among others, aging artists, cultural workers, and humanity scholars who, as the cognitive precariat, have not really invested in their senior future. The smart, hyperventilating cities of the future probably won't want to house us. This Vier Seitenhof, that's the German name of the farm, we bought more or less by chance in the Altmark, and it's a former LPG. The German word, it's Landwirtschaftliche Produktionsgesellschaft.
I see.
An agricultural production cooperative of the former GDR, which was established in the 50s and ended with the unification of Germany. So in the late 90s.
Late 80s, correct.
1989. We do not know much specific about this farm. It was a part of a larger LPG and was returned to the former owners after 1989, who were now living in the West. They leased the farm to former LPG workers. That was the normal procedure.
I see.
There are no documents about it, and people here tell contradictory stories. Our immediate previous owner very respectfully renovated the neglected farm. And so we find many traces of its former use as a calf-rearing farm.
Ah. Oh, there was like calves as in like small cows.
And bulls, yes.
Aha, okay.
The small blackboards on which the birth dates of these newborn bulls and cows were noted are still hanging. The nameplate of the LPG is to be found on our attic. The whole yard, including the garden and meadows, is full of animal skeletons, metallic remains of machine parts that can no longer be identified, plastic cords that do not decompose, and building rubble containing asbestos. All of this accumulate with everything that is planted here or grows by itself to hybrid clumps of matter.
Hybrid clumps of matter. That's a very interesting adjective for what we see around us. I would like to just actually say that the first time I came to the farm, I guess Yvonne would be happy to hear this, I, of course, had a very different kind of expectation from the word farm. Because I am a big city girl. I have grown up, born and brought up in Calcutta, not at all in touch with anything remotely nature or natural. And when you hear farm, there is romance in your brains. And then I came here and there was a lot of this kind of hybrid clumps of matter kind of gloom. And I must say I'm really into it. Anyway, coming back to the point that we were discussing. So what are the kind of plants that are actually growing around here? And I think our listeners would also be interested to know what are the plants that have been used to actually make the soundproof panels. As I said earlier when we began, the soundproofing in the Darkish Matter radio studio is done with panels that were handmade by Yvonne, massive large-scale structures, sculptures with the so-called quote-unquote weeds found on the land. So if you could tell us a little bit about the flora of this region and the flora on our walls right now.
Okay. We don't know exactly what is grown here either.
Oh, okay.
So much. It's huge.
Okay.
In the fence vegetable garden, we try to keep track of what is flowering and bearing fruit. But on the rest of the land, which is by far the largest part, we allow many things to grow that are usually considered weeds. This is because there is a lot of farming going on outside the farm, our farm, and the neighbors get to grips with every controlled growing plant, at best with a white-on lone mower.
Mm-hmm.
We also first had to learn that what we let grow for the bees, butterflies, and beetles, it's not a weed,
mm-hmm.
Unkraut. But
say that again?
Unkraut. It's not unkraut.
Okay.
But it's normally called like that,
uh-huh.
And everybody is fighting against that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called also nowadays bi-weed. I think you can translate it like that. Mm. It's bi-kraut.
Bi-kraut. Okay.
So that's what we also have here inside our studio. Plants such as mugwort, bifus,
mm-hmm.
tansy, it's rain fern, that's the small yellow flowers what you see here. Birds, not weed, it's Vogelknöterich.
Vogelknöterich. Okay.
Yeah, so kind of that.
Okay.
And St. John's wort, it's Johanniskraut. Everybody knows it if you fight against depression with that.
So I see.
Stinging needle, it's brennnessel, it's everywhere over mm-hmm. the world, in each country, on each place, in each city.
Mm-hmm.
And also what you like, I heard, hops.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have to just interrupt you for a bit,
yes.
Because yesterday, Yvonne, Ira, and myself, we went out to get some of these so-called weeds in. And I had never pulled dried hopfen with my hands, but my hands were smelling of beer. So just I had to say that I really like hop. Yes, please continue. Sorry. Yes.
And what normally also everybody knows, it's poppies,
mm-hmm.
it's moon, and elderberries.
Ah,
that's,
oh yeah.
Holunder.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a strong herb what grows in each on each farm,
mm-hmm.
because it was a kind of medical base for
mm-hmm.
very natural medical treatments.
Ah, yeah.
So the holunder, it's on the farm, very important, and
yeah.
you can find it on every farm.
Uh-huh.
But that are wild herbs that used to be utilized as medicinal and also edible plants.
Right.
And when you read the warnings in the specific literature, you are surprised how many of these plants are psychoactive for humans,
yeah,
and also for animals.
Ah.
When they are consumed.
Okay.
So I have a little spider here.
So they induce some hallucinations, right?
I will come to the effects. So
it's
not only hallucinations, but also other one. They are also euphorias. They produce lucid dreams, I would like, or act as sedatives.
Okay.
They can also provoke ecstatic, narcotic, and clairvoyant effects.
Okay.
And this plant material you can find now dried and processed in a processed state here on our resorbent sound manipulating panels. That's the difference between absorbing. It's not about producing a kind of a clean sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the idea that the sound is really meshing
mm-hmm.
with this kind of panel on a molecular level. So that's what's our intent to create that plant studio or that weed studio what we have. And in the moment next to us, they are intoxicating us with its intense scent and, as you said, psychoactive interventions in our body,
uh-huh.
bodies and brains, I think.
Okay. So with that, we are getting our first call. And I'm wondering if our trusted radio nav chief can patch us through. Yes, hello? 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 Can you hear us? Hello?
Hi?
Yes, hi. You are live on Radio Kull and DMRS Yetsu with RJ Pro and Yvonne of Nobotic. How may we help you?
Yes, I have a question, a very important question. I grew a tropical palm in one corner of my living room in Berlin. I bought palm from IKEA, I'm not really thinking much about it. But now something very strange is happening. Every day the tree moves its location. And I wake up in the morning, it's anywhere else. So I'm extremely scared because I'm not moving the tree. I'm really not. I fear there's some sort of an evil in it. Can you help me?
Hello? We can't hear you anymore. Just a second. Yeah. Hello? Are you still on the line?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So just the last bit, that your palm is moving around is what you're saying, right?
Yes. It's moving around and it's anywhere else when I wake up in the morning. So I'm scared about it because I think it's an evil spirit in it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Stay on the line. I think I know what's going on. So it seems like your plant, which is a palm, is hosting a particular spirit called the Akanore. So the Akanore is a very special Bengali ghost. And this ghost sits on top of these very tall palm trees that are available in rural and urban Bengal. And you don't really know what the Akanore looks like because they sit so far up on the trees, but you can see their dangling legs. And when you see the legs, you see that they are turned the other way. So you look at a pair of feet dangling and you see that the heel is actually the thing that is facing you. So it seems like the palm that you have bought from IKEA is a palm that has gone through a migration background. It's quite possibly a palm that has come from Bengal and... You are dealing with a ghost that has come through the neo-colonial practices of globalized trade into Germany. And I'm wondering if you could, you can go off air now, you can cut the call and we can talk a little bit with Yvonne about the concept of plant migration, and maybe you can keep yourself glued to the radio and you find a good solution for how to make sure that the Akanore reaches their home in rural Bengal.
Okay.
Yeah?
Thank you very much. Thank
You're
you very,
very welcome. Yes. You're very welcome. So, Yvonne, this was a very interesting moment for us. I think our first call being a very urgent sort of ghost-busting sort of call. And I started talking about this idea of plant migration. I think we had a slight chat. I think we had a slight chat about this idea of plant migration sometime in the last time I was here. And you had said exactly, I think, something like, people often talk about migration of human beings. But they never talk about a plant migration as also something that is a geopolitical reality of a post-colonial world. So if you could tell, if you could tell us a little bit about this, maybe,
It's very difficult to answer. Maybe I just tell a little story.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not really hit the post-colonial issues, but I think the migration issue. It's about the different poppies that I grow here on the farm. Here grows the red poppy, the moon, and the small decorative poppy, a lot of different versions.
Mm-hmm.
But here grows also the opium poppy with the large capsules.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which if you scratch the immature skin and collect the white milk, you could be made opium and morphine.
Uh-huh.
And if you baked cake from the seeds of this poppy or also from the other poppies, and you eat a large piece of it, you would not pass a drug test. But it's strictly forbidden to cultivate opium poppies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a special federal opium agency here, the Bundesopiumstelle, it's really a wonderful word, that regulate exceptions for cultivating poppy. And yet the plant grows everywhere because in the GDR, the cultivation of the opium poppy was not forbidden. So these poppies are still around. They grow everywhere because of, as a result of history. So, and these psychoactive qualities of the poppy plants assert themselves against inherently helpless political prohibitions and continue to force themselves on people.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is that you try to control plants, you support growing on farms, make a lot of political issues about plants, but the plants itself has their own agency.
Right. On that note, because, you know, poppy is a very important part of Bengali food. We call it posto. And it becomes so important in Bengal because of essentially colonial practices of monoculture, forced monoculture of poppy for opium production in the colonial times. And I wanted to take this moment to maybe play a song. This is a song that is composed in 1953. By Sholil Chaudhary, who was a leftist cultural worker and a music director. And it was created for the leftist cultural movement of Bengal in the 1950s and 60s. And he was actually writing and composing this song in a way to romanticize the landscape of rural Bengal post the ravages of the Bengal famine that happened in 1943. Because of the Winston Churchill government taking away, extracting all the rice from Bengal towards the First World War. So with that, maybe we can have the song.
Antoneri, Shantonai, Prantarero.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Who am I speaking to? You are live on Radio DMRS Radio Yeatsu. One second. Just a second. There is a bit of a disturbance. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, so you are live on air with RJ Pro and Yvonne from Nobotic. So tell us what can we do
Hi,
for you.
Hi, Yvonne. Hi, Pramona.
Hi.
So I have a particular problem.
Yes.
I live in Berlin. I live in Germany.
Yes.
And one of my best friends is from Emden in East Frisia.
Okay.
And when I go to see him, I always buy some Assam tea because the Frisians drink Assam tea. I am from Assam.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is that the Assam tea that you find here is completely different from all Assam tea I have ever had.
I see.
And I almost feel like it is haunted by the fact that it is the most colonial thing possible.
Mm.
Tea in itself is. Now, my question is, how do I drink tea, which is basically watered by the tears of complete, displaced people? Because I truly feel that it is haunted. That is my question.
So, just to check in with you again, you are asking how would you drink tea without being haunted?
Yes.
This is a very good question. Thank you very much for that question. And you can actually cut the call and we will find a way to answer your question. Okay. Yeah?
Thank
okay.
You.
Thank you very much for that question. I think I struggle with this as well. I grew up in Kolkata, which used to be known as Calcutta, and it is basically one night away from Darjeeling and one night away from Assam as well. And I think I was quite spoiled growing up drinking the tea that came from these places. And as a kid, of course, I was not so much aware of the history of the tea gardens. But the older I got and the more radicalized and politicized I got, I kind of realized the very, very strong tradition of radical movement creation in the tea estates themselves, not to mention one of the most important moments of leftist radical political movements in Bengal, the Naxalbari movement that happened in 1967, was actually happening under the leadership of leaders from indigenous backgrounds who were working as workers within the tea garden system. So this is it's a pretty difficult question, and I'm not sure if I have a very direct answer, because to be able to sort of bust the ghosts of oppressive histories, where you yourself are in a position of consumption, which is, you know, you're consuming the tea, you are technically in a way you're technically kind of literally drinking into the tradition of oppression. And often the knee-jerk reaction when we finally realize regimes of oppression that we ourselves have been born into and have bought into is immediate rejection. I think what you could possibly try is that first and foremost, take a moment to understand what exactly is the ghost that is haunting you, which means that you need to kind of do a bit of a calculation to figure out what is the extent of your buy-in into the oppressive politics of tea production. Who are the people? Who are the people within your ancestry who were a part of it? Who are the people around you who are a part of it, who were a part of the oppressive side of the argument? And once you're able to understand which are the ghosts that are coursing through your blood, then maybe the next question is to then find out how you exorcise them. Because I think it is important for us to sort of understand the scope of the problem when it comes to exorcism, especially exorcism of the historical kind. We need to find out where we stand. Nah? So I would say, dear listener, we need to find more information about your ancestry, about the levels of involvement that your ancestors had in the oppressive politics of tea production, in the oppressive politics of colonial extraction of tea, and post-colonial extraction of tea as well, by basically native elites who essentially became the new colonizers, the internal colonizers of India. So that would be my take on it. I'm not sure if I answered your question in any helpful sort of way, but I think this is the most useful tip that I could give you. So I think I would actually like to maybe go back to Yvonne for a couple of questions. But before that, maybe we take a moment to perhaps play another song, because since we are talking about the exorcism of historical ghosts inside us, ghosts of oppressors inside us, inside our ancestral blood, I would like to play a song which is a very super hit song from the leftist cultural movement in Bengal in the 1960s. So maybe we can start that. Okay. Okay. So we apparently have a caller online. If they are already online. Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hello? Yes, I think I can hear you.
Yes, we would like to know who we are speaking to. You are live with RJ
Hi.
Pro and Yvonne from Novotic. Yes.
Yes, hi. I'm Ramesh, and I actually have more kind of a comment to your last caller because you asked the questions kind of. I am a grandson of a colonial tea planter and love my tea.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just wanted to just speak about that for a little bit.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Am I online or is this just like a pre kind
no.
of...
No, you are on air and you are live
okay,
and we want to know about
okay,
your
so
grandfather.
I just want to add that, yeah, exactly. So grandfather being part of the indigenous population that kind of took the tea, the colonial extractive activity of planting tea and actually... enslaving their fellow people. I guess I grew up in that kind of environment and only later in life realized what that actually meant. And I also have this memory of my grandfather after retirement kind of seeming to be haunted by the memories of his life as a tea planter, and at night always kind of shouting all night long in three different languages, in English, Sinhala, and Tamil, seeming to be tormented all night by, I guess, memories of the past. And at the same time, of course, coming from a country like Sri Lanka, where tea has a huge importance in terms of revenue and even cultural identity as it's seen across the world, it is as you said, it's kind of a very strange place to be in having this legacy, which is kind of tied to a very unproblematic drink with a very problematic history.
Wow, that is a heavy thing for me to hold, and thank you so much for sharing that. As I think I was also kind of saying to our previous caller, how does one find ways of exorcising, first and foremost, of acknowledging the ghosts coursing through our blood, and then we start kind of having the first sort of conversations around exorcism. Thank you once again for calling in, and that was a fantastic piece of personal history that we were very lucky to witness. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I think this is the right moment for me to ask Yvonne a very specific question. Yvonne?
Yes.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, not really an unexpected question. I try not to believe in ghosts. At least not in these angry ghosts, which maybe are haunting here on the farm, or these killed animals and these cows, these pigs, all these bad threatened animals what you have here. Mm-hmm. So you see the traces everywhere. As I've mentioned before, mm. all this kind of skeletons, what you can find here, bones in the soil. Mm-hmm. So I try not to believe in ghosts. But maybe in the nice one. But aha. I have the idea that it's always, you have this imagination about this kind of figurative ghosts. Yeah. But for me, I think we have a lot of ghostly matter.
Ghostly matter?
Yes.
So what's that?
Ghostly matter, for me, it's this kind of matter we can't describe. So it came out also of what we are doing, not only in nature, but also in combining with technology. Mm-hmm. Also what you have here in agriculture, where you are deal with nature, you let grow, you harvest, you transform all this material. But what you are doing at least is you fragmented it. So you put it in total molecular stuff, material. Mm-hmm. So what I think what we are doing, it's what we are doing with the fragments, that's my question. Because we force them to recombinate uh-huh. them to something else. Uh-huh. Also with that kind, what I say, this for this clumsy matter.
Right.
So accumulations of different stuff, of organic stuff, of technological stuff, but we don't control that. So, and to combine that with our imaginations and our understanding, it gets toxic. And for me, that it's the ghostly matter. So things what are around us, what maybe came also into our dreams. Maybe we will cry. I don't know in which languages maybe. But ghostly matter exists.
Okay, so before we go into our first commercial break, we want to once again remind you that you are listening to Radio Kull, to our first episode, Spectre in My Seed, live from Darkish Matter Radio Studio Yeats with RJ Pro and Yvonne of Nobotic. You can call us with our ghost-busting requests or your personal stories like we just heard from our caller in Sri Lanka on these numbers. So the first number is +49 163 949 9381. Once again, +49 163 949 9381. Or we have another WhatsApp call, which is the number is +1 949 419 4696. +1 949 419 4696. Okay, I think we are getting another call. So before we go into our break, we will take this call. Okay. Nav Chief, do we have the caller online? Do we have that? All right. Hello? 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 Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Hello? 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 There is a slight technical hitch. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, okay, we hear you. All right, you're live on Spectre in My Seed with RJ Pro and Yvonne Wilhelm of Nobotic. How may we help you?
Yes, hello, I'm really hoping that you can help me.
Just a second,
I have not
can't
slept.
Hear you anymore.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Just hello?
Yes, tell us.
Yes?
You're on air.
I'm calling you from the west of Ireland.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that you can help me because I have not slept in 2 weeks, very little. Mm-hmm. I live beside an ancestral burial mound mm-hmm. On a piece of land I inherited from my grandmother. And she grew all kinds of flowers and edible plants. mm-hmm. on the burial mound, mm-hmm. but now it is covered in weeds.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I've been trying to clean these weeds away from the burial mound, mm-hmm. but they just keep coming back. And since this has happened, every night the ghosts are coming, they're fighting, they're partying, and I cannot sleep.
Okay. All right. Could you describe what these weeds look like, maybe?
Well, you know, it's like a really depressing lavender plant, you know, so it's like it's dry, silverish, lavender kind of colored stalks,
mm-hmm.
but it's not happy like lavender. It's kind of dark and gray and a bit gloomy, like a Samuel Beckett play.
Oh, okay. Do you know this, Yvonne?
I have an idea. I think it's the bifus. It could be has this kind of silver, it's under the leaves. It's silver colored. It's,
yes,
it's called,
yes.
It's called bifus, mugwort.
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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the weed. You can find it everywhere, I told before. And it's growing up until 2 meters.
Yes.
And, this plant likes this kind of soil, this over-fertilized soil that we have mm. here. This is full of nitrates and phosphates. I think that would be the problem because that plant can, I think, phytomining this kind of
mm.
fertilized soil.
So
maybe you can change the soil
Okay, so there's mm-hmm. one possibility that Yvonne is saying, which is changing the soil. But you said this is mm-hmm. an ancestral burial land, right? So it
yes,
is over-fertilized.
It's not my ancestors. So, you know, I don't know whose ancestors.
I see.
But they're extremely noisy.
Uh-huh. I see. Mm. Okay. I have an idea. I want to take it through Yvonne and give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yvonne had said earlier that some of these weeds are psychoactive, like you can trip on them. Is bifus one of them, Yvonne?
Bifus is this one with the lucid dreams.
Lucid dreams. Aha.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I think what's happening is that the people, the souls that are partying while you sleep, they want to, they want your company, right? They want to hang out. And the way they are asking you, inviting you to do it, is through a lucid dream trip. So mm-hmm. I would say find a safe way, like a tea or like a very, very mild doobie to use the bifus. I would definitely suggest, talk to a herbalist to figure mm-hmm. out the best way to do this. And actually use the bifus that is taking over because it's clear that there is some forced entry going on. You're not being
yes.
able to sleep. Your dreams are sort of being entered into.
Mm-hmm.
Open the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say.
And how do I close the door?
I think once you find a way to open the door, you might find out that the mm-hmm. guests are not malevolent and you might not need to A, close the door, or you might find a way to just tell them, hey, now you can leave, and then they leave.
It sounds risky, but I'll give it a try.
Give it a shot. Definitely, I would say, find a person to do it with. Find a
mm-hmm.
friend. Don't do
mm-hmm.
it alone. I would definitely say that.
Mm. Mm.
And call us again, because we would like to know if you're successful. You know, lucid dreaming.
I'll try anything at this stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
We wish you all the success. Thank you so much calling us from so far away and the cold shores of Ireland. Yeah. Thank you. And we hope
thank
that
you for your advice.
Well. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao. And with that, we should go into our commercial break. So we will be right back with you.
Do you have what it takes to be a cosmonaut?
Are you ready for a life of adventure? Do you want to travel through the vastness of the cosmos? Join the SS Babem today.
SS Babem is a queer feminist deep space exploration vehicle traveling to the far corners of Alpha Centauri and Andromeda galaxies. We are looking for Flinta people to join our crew. Desired qualifications include curiosity, DIY attitude, strong capacity for psychotropic drug usage, imagination, revolutionary consciousness, and love and care for others. Childcare, food, lodgings, and healthcare is provided alongside a lucrative holiday and shore leave package.
For details of available positions and remuneration, please send your applications to Captain Pro or Nav Chief Hydra or Pilot T. Address your mail to a black hole near you and we will find it.
Kal Rituals. The first in a series of publications emerging from the transoceanic platform Kal, Rituals proposes queer and trans feminist ecologies, embodiments, and mythmaking. The contributions trace and disrupt cross-colonial legacies through bodies of water, lapping at the shorelines of the Arabian Sea, the Indian Ocean, and the Atlantic. Kal Rituals. Edited by the many-headed Hydra and Aziz Suhail, it includes contributions by Fatima Asgar, Fiza Khatri, Nadia Sabahat Khan, Saadia Khatri, Sandeep Handi, Sharika Navamani, Shahana Rajani and Zara Malkani, Tamara Fernando, Tara Rani, Umair Khan, Venuri Pereira, and Vicky Shahjaha. Designed by Aziza Ahmed and published by both Archive Books and Zuban Books, coming near you soon.
Radio Kal, where the sound of yesterday, tomorrow meets.
Akash or Radio Kal, our Bhavishyate Shabdo.
It kalatin metrin and it kalatin kolihe.
Titayin anagatayin shabd. Jaha do kal ki mulaqat hogi.
Welcome back, listeners, to the first episode of Radio Kal, live from DMRS Yeetze. Today's call-in info program episode is called Spectre in My Seed with your RJ, yours truly, Pro, and my friend Yvonne from Nobotic, here to help you with supernatural problems related to your plants, gardens, and farms. You can call us on +491639499381. Once again, +491639499381, or you can call us on WhatsApp, which is on +1 949 4194 696. Again, +1 949 4194 696, and we shall be right with you. So we also welcome your personal stories, such as the one we heard from Sri Lanka about close supernatural encounters of the natural kind. You know, Yvonne, my best friend's family has an old house in a small city called Krishnanagar in West Bengal that is known as a center for a particular kind of spirituality called Vaishnavism. It's a Krishna worship, right? So their ancestral house is there, and it has this massive tree in the courtyard. And this tree is supposed to be a host for some sort of a family deity. In all the conversations that I've had with him about the family deity, I mean, of course, this is a very sort of personal conversation, and I was, you know, I was a communist from a very early on age. I don't believe in God, but he does. Mm-hmm. So in all my conversations, I've always felt that, you know, his devotion kind of overlaps with fear of the tree, because this tree, I have a very strong image. I've never seen it, but it's the, kind of this kind of wild, ancient tree, which is basically not really a tree, but a real spirit, huh? And it's got something to do specifically with the Bengali countryside, where there are many different kinds of ghosts and spirits, and who make particular trees their own homes, yeah? So I think it was there was a double attack. So first is the colonial encounter with the British accessing Bengal. That was the first place to be colonized. And the second attack is the famine that was caused directly by it. And this region, therefore, has had a very, very high death toll, right? Because of the famine. And therefore, there was this massive kind of bloom of supernatural imagination in the Bengali countryside. And interestingly, we have many ghosts that are actually identifiably women, because women, of course, had to live in the most oppressive parts of this society, especially the casteist culture of Bengal, where widows were not allowed to eat much. They were kept around, especially very young widows, mm-hmm. kept around in very oppressive spaces. And they were denied, especially non-vegetarian food. So, for example, there's this one ghost, which is a woman ghost called the Shakchunni, who is a fish eater. So she steals fish, because as a young girl, she gets killed, essentially, and she becomes a ghost, a young widow who was never allowed to touch fish. And she comes back to haunt you to eat your fish. So anyway, there's a lot of this stuff in the Bengali imagination, especially these two trees. One is the banyan, the bot, as we say in Bangla, and one is the fig, the pakur. The bot and the pakur are where the ghosts mostly live. Are you aware of any culture, any cultural spaces where there are similar sort of trees which are connected very obviously to sort of, you know, long cultures of particular kinds of ghosts, cultural ghosts?
I think we are, yeah, it's the time is too short that we are living here to find such things.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with the specific landscape here.
And, correct.
So sometimes you have also a little bit afraid to open doors. So maybe you kept it closed. But we are trying. And the experience with what we have now with that weed would take this huge agency on us, because it's growing everywhere. It forced us to do the project and to deal with that contaminated landscape. So for me, all that what is growing outside with this immense power, it's a kind of overtooking us.
Right.
So,
right.
And for me, it's interesting to look for that specific landscape we didn't talk about. It's that what I thought explained before, this LPG, this huge agricultural landscape. Mm-hmm. And if you have the idea that a former LGB has the size of 4,500 hectares.
Oof.
So that was huge unit. To make agriculture with. So you see it in the landscape
right
now here also. But what the farmers are now doing, they give the land to the energy industry. Mm-hmm. So they are building huge wind parks and huge solar parks here, mm-hmm. because it's a lack of infrastructure
right.
here, so they can do it.
Correct.
But I think what happens then, if you are here in the night, mm-hmm. and it's very, very silent here, uh-huh. and then immediately you get a kind of a very irritating material flow. You can't hear anything, but you feel it. It has an impact on your body.
Right.
And that's the infra shell of the wind parks.
Oh, yeah, so it's the infra sound waves.
Yes. You can see it as a kind of a technological explanation.
Correct.
but what it is doing with all that what's here inside the farm on the landscape, it's waiting to be activated.
Mm-hmm.
Not only by our brain, not only by our dreams, by our psychoactive situations,
mm-hmm.
it also by that kind of sound waves and acoustic and molecular waves what you have. So it's uncontrollable. What are doing this kind of matter
mm-hmm.
also with that situation?
Yeah.
That's totally unexpected. And for me, it's interesting
yeah.
to include in all that the discussion of ghosts
mm.
and also what happens historically here and to find ghosts and produce some cultural myth to involve the techniques and the technology. So
correct.
As you said, this kind of what here it's totally aware.
Absolutely. In fact, we will very soon play a song, very special song, and I wanted to make a connection with what you just said, Yvonne. As many of you, I'm sure, who are listening to us know, that there has been huge protests led by Indian farmers across the last year and this year regarding three particular farm laws that were passed by the Indian government, which directly kind of impact the sort of production and distribution system as it is currently there in the farming practices of India in a very sort of anti-farmer way. And they had been sort of blockading the borders of Berlin, of Delhi, can you imagine? Blockading the borders of Delhi for more than a year now and gone through a lot, lost people on site, been there as a sort of bodily mass reminder of the severe conditions of lack of support that Indian farmers have to live with. And so this feeling of the sort of, and because I wanted to make a connection, because a lot of these farmers are coming from Punjab, which was essentially the space, which was apparently the center of the so-called Green Revolution. Mm-hmm. Strongly industrialized farming culture that was kind of being pushed by the Indian government, and somehow it does not pan out the way it is supposed to have panned out, which is all hale and hearty. The same farmers who are supposed to have been benefiting from the Green Revolution were blockading Delhi around its borders. And a couple of days back, the farm laws were repealed. However, I was reading, remember I told you about P. Sainath, the journalist who wrote Everybody Loves a Good Drought?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So P. Sainath, one of his posts on Instagram said that, you know, he went and spoke to the farmers after this repeal of the law happened, and they are wary. They are saying that we are not actually sure if this is the right moment for us to celebrate or kind of withdraw, because we can't trust the government. We cannot trust this government, and we need, we are waiting for it to be actually written down. That's what they said. So on that note, I actually wanted to play a particular song which was produced during the farmer protests. It's a Punjabi interpretation of the classic anti-fascist anthem, Bila Chao. And a lot of songs were produced during this time. This one remains a personal favorite. So here we go.
ਅਸਾਂ ਨਿਕਲਿਆ ਛੱਡ ਸਾਰੀ ਫਿਕਰਾਂ ਗਾਉਂਦੇ ਆ ਜ਼ਾਲਿਮ ਵਾਪਸ ਜਾਓ 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 ਮਿੱਟੀ ਦੇ ਕਣ ਕਣ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਹੈ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਇਹੀ ਗੂੰਜ ਹੈ ਜ਼ਾਲਿਮ ਵਾਪਸ ਜਾਓ
ਪਹਿਲੇ ਵੀ जी कभी रोटियां बनाई थी ऐसे?
ना
नहीं, ये तो मोदी सरकार ने बनवानी सिखा दी।
सानू आकेरन स्याकाली राता एही सवेर दी पुकार, वापस जाओ 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 जागी आवामुन खैर मनाओ सब दी एही हुंकार, वापस जाओ।
सुनेगा सरकार नू, सुनना पड़ेगा।
बुलंदा वाजा कर दिए लाना अस्सी ठुकरान दे त्वानू, वापस जाओ 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 त्वाडे इन काले कातल कानूना दाए को ही जवाब, वापस जाओ।
जो किसान इधर है उनसे आकर मिलिए, उनसे पूछे कि उनको कितनी मुश्किल आती है, वो कैसे सोते हैं, कैसे खाना बनाते हैं।
असा निकले आ छड़ सारी फिकरा, गांदे आए जालिम, वापस जाओ 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 मिट्टी दे कण कण विचों है आंदी एही गूंज है जालिम, वापस जाओ जालिम जाओ, वापस जाओ जाओ जाओ।
Yvonne, you were telling me something while we were listening to the song about a green revolution and the battle against the weed. Can you tell me more?
Yeah, it was what came to me in mind what, when you mentioned the green revolution. It is that the intention was to fight against the weed. So all this technological and genetic engineering was to let that plant grow what you want that they grow. So all that what we had here, the weed, the bifus, all this kind of akavinda or such things, they killed by the Green Revolution.
Right.
So, but what happens then when you also know about the existence and the development of the superweed is that they start to be resistant against all the herbicides of the Green Revolution and also of the resist against the genetic engineering. So that's what I, when I look in the garden, I see this strong power of of the weed to survive all our intention, all of our very violent development and dealing with the plants and with the crops and with all of that. So there will be a revolution of the weed.
Oh, the empire strikes back. Oh-ho. Well, on that note, I think we have come to the end of today's episode of Not Weed Frequencies. I and Yvonne and Navjeev Hydra, we are still sitting in the midst of this like dark, clumpy matter landscape that Yvonne is hosting us in. And I personally am getting very cold. So I think the weeds are, of course, not just taking over, but they are asking us to leave. So I would just like to take a moment to thank a few people. I would like to thank our Radio Tech Hydra. I would like to thank our Call Q Tech Aziz. I would like to thank our Sound Witch Maya. I would like to thank all our listeners and our callers. This was a fantastic, fantastic experience. First time for me, at least. And it was a fully DIY radio room and radio tech reabsorbent soundproofing make experience for all of us. All of us kind of put our minds and bodies and heads together. I would, at the end, of course, like to really, really thank the weeds, the plants that are giving us a lot of their odd, dark energies to ensure that we are able to alchemize that towards making this little piece for all of you. So with that, stay warm out there. Happy moonrise. And this is goodbye from RJ Pro. It's a goodbye from Yvonne.
Goodbye for everyone.
And it's a goodbye from our Tech Chief Hydra.
Goodbye.
Have a fantastic evening. Bye.
Radio Kal, where the sound of yesterday tomorrow meets.
Akash Hari Radio Kal, Arbhumi Shadish Shabadu.
Pit Kalatin Metrin Adit Kalatin Kolia.
Titayin Anagatin Shabdha. Jahan Do Kal Ki Mulaqat Hogi.